We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Wednesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL, and we have a ton to unpack, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, Mark Menard, back at Master Control, taking your calls at 504-260-1870, our WWL Blue Run and Gumbo opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. If you were an NFL player, would you play football during a pandemic? The early voting, 62% are saying yes, it's worth the risk, no, at 38%. No, it is not worth the risk. I wouldn't take the chance. 38% of those voting online say that. Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. You can also shoot us a text at that same number. The NFL reportedly intends to give all players the choice to sit out the entire 2020 season, a lot like the NBA did prior to their restart later at the end of this month. But the players, the kicker is, the players that sit out, they're not getting paid. It would just take the contract that they signed this year or wherever they were in their contract for this year and move it to next if they sit out, if they fear for their safety or if they have a family member that has a comorbidity or if they themselves have a comorbidity, they can sit out. Bobby, does this surprise you that they're having an opt-out?
No, because I think from a legal standpoint, you got to have that opt-out. It doesn't matter whether it's the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, whatever it might be in the workforce as, a professional organization. So that didn't surprise me. I thought the NFL would eventually come to this. Now, I can see the players opting out, not playing, the ones that already got paid. And what I mean by that, they've already established themselves. Let's say they've signed a previous contract, let's say similar to like Malcolm Jenkins. Then Malcolm basically, the gross, not the net, but then he signed a contract somewhere $50, $60 million. Well, he has money in the bank, so you would think he can weigh his option. But if you upstart and trying to make a team and trying to establish yourself, boy, that's a missed opportunity, especially if you're on the back end of the roster, on that bubble, whether you're going to make it or not. To not take advantage of the opportunity. Because, Christian, even if you're an NFL player and you're amongst the masses, who's to say you're going to play 5 or 6 years? You might play 3 to 4 years. So you're going to try and get it while you can. So I think they're going to weigh the pros and the cons. And I definitely would see the players who are trying to survive and be a professional football player in the National Football League and not opting out. Now, you can have some players who are established. They might go that route. But even like, for instance, I don't think Drew Brees is retired. Drew Brees has enough money in the bank that I think he's confident that they're going to do the right thing. And we're all also going to elaborate on this because it's going to be interesting what's going to happen between the NFL Players Association and the NFL as far as how safe the players truly feel they are. Because there's one thing, Christian, the players respect this guy. His name's J.C. Treader. He is the president of the NFLPA. And this is really where it comes to, like, labor versus management. And he goes on to say, it is the responsibility of the employer to provide a safe work environment. I encourage all workers to hold their employers accountable to high standards, more so than any other sport. Considering the game of football was a perfect storm for virus transmission, Now, there are protections, both short and long term, that must be agreed upon before we can safely return to work. And the NFLPA will be diligent as we demand that the NFL provide us the safest workplace possible. And I think the NFL, as a league, they know that. And the NFL Players Association, they are looking at like, okay, we want to play, but you can't just be happy-go-lucky and just say, oh, we might have some setbacks and all that. They have to truly dot the I's and cross the T's. For instance, like a household name, I played with his dad, Ironhead Hayward. Cameron Hayward, I coached him. Christian, I can remember hitting the asthma thing. What do you call that, asthma pump, whatever, when you're a kid? It's
Yeah, I don't know the exact the inhaler. Inhaler.
Inhaler, yes.
I should know that. My son has asthma. I should know that, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the inhaler. I can remember when he was like 10, 11 years old, we're playing, and he's having on the sideline hit the inhaler. Well, Cameron Hayward has asthma, so he wants to take every precaution if he plays, considering who, but he might be dealing with. Now, he's a player who has bank, who's established himself, who's gotten paid. So he might be a guy that would say, because of a medical condition, then I'm going to wait to lift the fight another day, 2021. And we know how much he means to the Steelers defense. So that's going to be interesting to see how this is going to unfold.
The NFL is still working through some of the details of the reported opt-out or opt-in policy. Right now, there's no hard deadline set as to when players have to tell the league, inform the league, that they are going to opt out. But they expect one to come here pretty soon. General managers around the league were told earlier this week that the opt-out will come with a hard deadline, but that deadline has not been set as of yet. So the other big question is how teams will handle the contract of any player who decides to sit out. One option would be to have that contract basically stay the same with everything moving forward 1 year, but no decisions have been made on that. So that doesn't necessarily say it's going to be moved. So it sounds like they are going to end up getting paid for this contract if it says moving forward, stay the same with everything moving forward 1 year. So yeah, that when I read it that way, that makes it sound like they are going to get paid this year, even if they sit out.
Oh, well, then you're going to have some players that they're going to take advantage of that.
Oh, yeah.
But then we're going to talk about after the next break the escrow proposal. And the players aren't for that necessarily when you look at the NFL and if they're actually having the games. And, Christian, this is another thing. You know how the NBA has a bubble? It might say it's a campus, but they're away from their families or their families are supposed to be in that bubble on that campus and, you know, the workers, they can go home and all that. Right now, you look at the NFL situation, and they're gonna go back to their families at night, and you might have some family members that are compromised, or they might have some live-in older parents that all of a sudden they could be worried about that. So to me, I don't know, the NFL would have to have almost a season. And the players, very similar to the NBA, would have to be confined and not necessarily go about your normal life with your wife and kids and your parents and who's all associated because somebody's going to get sick. I'm telling you right now, if they have that, people are going to get sick.
1,700 players, not to mention the coaches.
Right,
you got a high probability of some positive tests, that's for sure. He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. If you were an NFL player, would you play football during a pandemic? That's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online for you at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. Shoot us a text at that number as well. LSU head football coach Ed Ogeron at 5:30, so make sure you tune into that. Bobby, the feud between the NFLPA and the NFL is – the league wants to put players' salaries, some of it, 35% of it, into escrow, and the players are saying, not happening, we'll sit out. You believe them?
Yeah, I think this broke last night, Christian, on NFL networks. Because, you know, every league's going to cry wolf in every business. Simply because it's not the same, it's not status quo, that revenue losses are going to be uninvitable. I mean, in other sports have floated ideas about increasing the amount placed in escrow including Major League Baseball and the NBA. Now, the NFLPA's response, that's the players' union in the NFL, there was kind of a very crude, Christian. It was like straightforward. They practically told the league to keep it, I guess, in this family hour, to kick rocks. They basically told them, you can go and kick rocks. Michael Thomas, obviously with the Saints, he commented on straightforward. He said the proposal. Then you look at Pat Mahomes, that ain't happening. But, Christian, when you truly look at it, as long as you get your money, you might say, well, I want my money now, and who's drawing interest, but then the amount of money you're making, the amount of taxes you're paying. I think as long as in the NFL they honor the players' compensation and not try to take them a cut in pay, considering that it looks like they're going to attempt to play the games, I can understand. I can look at the player situation. I can look at the owner situation. The bottom line is whether you have fans in the stands that, Christian, the Saints might even suit you up to go out there to make sure the NFL gets that TV money.
No, thanks.
No, thanks. The point I'm making, when you look at the XFL and, like, all these college players, which is like a farm system for the NFL, that they have in these games. Now, it could be a setback, whatever, because off the top of my head, Christian, I have to look at my notes, but I want to say, like, the television revenue is like $5 billion. They got to put a product out there on the field. They're not giving that up. So who's playing, not playing? Obviously, the quarterback position, they want that being the fans, the TV revenue that comes about. People want to see Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. They want to see Pat Mahomes. They want to see the quarterback, but realistically, you could get by with not necessarily seeing the top offensive lineman, if that makes sense. Like, as great as Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead are, football fans really don't know who they are.
They're not watching Ryan Ramczyk. They're really not, unless he gets called for a holding penalty or he gives up a sack.
Right. Now football people are watching what they do and how dominant they are. But that's why the product on the field, you have to have games because of that television revenue. So when I look at the escrow, I can understand. I think it's going to affect more college football and the revenue with LSU not having, a full stadium and what they're counting on for all the different, different programs within the athletic department and how that they need fans in the stands. Look at SEC stadiums and all the fans that participate there compared to the NFL. So I think it's a lot more challenging for NCAA football and the SEC compared to the NFL. But, Christian, I would be almost shocked, even if there could be, oh, there's an outbreak. Oh, did you hear at this camp? There's an outbreak. I think it's going to be next man up. They're going to say, okay, you got to go quarantine. Go away, get healthy, and they can just bring somebody else in, and that they'll have a television product, I truly believe, when all said and done.
Bobby, if you said they're going to suit me up, how many plays would you give me before I tap out?
Okay, well, what position do you want to play?
You tell me where they would.
They're not going to put you at quarterback, because when they had the media quarterback games in West Virginia, you were throwing backward passes. I mean,
We don't need to bring that up.
Maybe it was slipping out your hand or what was happening.
Yeah, we don't need to bring that up.
I think you'd work hard at this. I would let you hold for extra points and field goals. that I think you would really master that. You work so hard that my timing, I'm going to get it down, and I'm not going to have the kickers yelling at me and all that. So I think you could dress out and pull that off.
Well, that would be about the only spot, and that would be the only spot I would really want to play.
That would be the number one spot. And then I would just say, Christian, just go down and kick off coverage and just go knock the crap out of someone. You might get knocked on your neck, but run down there like you don't care.
Let me be clear here. All right, I was in the Marines, but I want no part of stepping on a field with those NFL giants. I've been down there at sideline level, and it is an incredibly violent and powerful game, and I want no part of it. And I'm glad that you guys do, and I'm glad that you guys get paid well to do it, because I want no part of it. I'm being honest.
Well, people pay to see this one snap.
Yeah, they would.
In old school, put you in the I formation and just run a toss sweep with you. Pitch you and see if you can get outside. If you can get back to the line of scrimmage.
You need a sundial to time me in a 40, man. So it ain't no getting outside. It would be a complete
wreck. Entertaining. It's all about entertainment.
Yeah,
championship wrestling? It's all about entertainment. And Christian, you're going to get paid. All of a sudden, they'd say, okay, Christian, you got a hole for extra points and field goals. We're going to run a toss sweep with you, and we're going to pay you $250,000.
All right, I'll do it.
You'd be like, what?
I'll do it.
I'm signing up.
All right, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Sports Talk continues here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. And a big one from the LHSAA, they issued a full statement, and they say that they are fully committed to fall sports. Now more than ever, the statement says, we are reminded that our communities need high school sports. Interscholastic competitions supports the physical, emotional, and mental well-being of student-athletes across Louisiana. The LHSAA is fully committed to the safe return of high school athletics this fall. We encourage member schools to follow the LHSAA Sports Medicine Advisory Committee guidelines to ensure the safety of our student-athletes, coaches, and administrators. Reopening high school sports depends on all of us working together. Bravo, the LHSAA, once again, great job standing by your charge as the governing body of this state and high school sports, and not caving to public pressure of Cleo Fields and Bessie and their recommendation to shut down fall sports. LHSAA, I applaud you. And I know you don't have to stand by this decision. Something might change it, but as of right now, great job. I love that news, Bobby.
Yeah, it could change. I mean, come on. We're not even at the end of July. What could happen at the end of August, and it could completely change. But look, I truly believe they're concerned with the student athletes. But what about the students' parents or the students' grandparents and how you're going to interact? So I think that's what you have to look at, because I think how the virus has spread and it's spiked. The one thing, the death totals have not gone up. And, you know, my understanding and talking to different people, the virus can mutate and could be maybe not as strong as far as what we're dealing with. But depending, and if you're susceptible, you have preconditions, it could be a death sentence to you. So that's the only thing. I know, listen, high school sports and everything that comes involved, it's so important for the whole student body to be a part of that, you know, going forward. But that's why I don't think that was wise to say, okay, we don't need to have fall sports right now. I still think you got to have the wait and see approach. And it's something you could start and maybe didn't work out, or you start and I don't know how you'd stop and restart, considering it's amateur and it's high school. But to say we're not going to have it, that would be almost, you know, who screwed up from a professional level would be like France. I want to say Paris Saint-Germain ended up being the champion in their professional soccer league. And they canceled the whole season. They were so far ahead, they were going to win it anyway, they thought. But I just look from a revenue standpoint and the players that are all involved, like the Bundesliga, Premier League, they didn't cancel it, their seasons, and they were able to pick it back up. So that's why I know you want to be cautious, but you cannot jump the gun. And it'd be like almost right now. Now, what's going to come about, Christian, middle of July to end of July, going forward, the SEC. In college football, that's just around the corner. That's not too far. It'll be interesting to see what perspective they're going to take with that. But as far as high school football, yeah, that was to say just out now, cancel it right now. That's still too early.
Yeah, and, you know, the LHSAA here lately, Bobby, look, you know I've been critical of them, but given this news, given the 17 investigations that they had to do on member schools, and there's only one that still is in doubt here, I applaud them. The last couple of things that they've done, exacting leadership, has been really good. I'm actually very, very optimistic about this organization now, because they are making good decisions, and not decisions that a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't think they would have been as sensitive about.
Well, you know, because it's so important when we all reflect back on, we were all seniors at one time in our life, seniors in high school, and how important that was. And you might, you know, say, well, it's high school football. But yeah, but think about this. If you've worked hard, you've been a 9th, 10th grade, 11th grade, and finally you got an opportunity to play and you're going to start and you want that experience, you're not necessarily going to go on to play college. That could be the team camaraderie and the life lesson that you might have being associated with a team that what might not never occur, or it could have occurred and could help you in the business world down the road, as far as helping your skill level. So that's why football is so important, and you know, sports, high school sports, when I look at it, because a majority of these players, they'll never have that opportunity again. And that's why you want it to be able to work out. But again, from a safety perspective, I'm not even worried really, Christian, about the athletes. I'm worried about is when they go home and their parents and who they're interacting with, like their grandparents.
Grandparents.
You know, yeah, because the guilt thing would be like, man, I went home and, you know, all of a sudden we were having – you know, with the church and then Sunday lunch or whatever. And then my grandma, grandpa got sick, whatever. And then I tested positive, then I passed it to him. So, you know, that you can't live in fear, but that's all things that needs to be taken into consideration.
Bobby, don't you think it's up to those families to make that decision though? Right. If they have those grandparents,
right.
You know,
they might have some families that say, well, you know, because of our situation, we have a grandparent living at home, and they might tell their kid, go live with one of your friends or whatever, and you can't come around this sort of season. That can happen.
The exact opposite can happen. The grandparents can say, you know what, I want to go see my grandson play his or her senior year, and I know the risk, and I'm willing to take the risk.
Yeah, just try to socially distance and watch from afar and try to do the right thing. And there's no really right or wrong answers. You could try and do the right thing. But, Christian, until you have a loved one, like I lost my dad, and you might say you could be cavalier and say like this and that, but I look at my dad, and, Christian, he would have been 82 yesterday. His birthday, he had been 82 years of age, so he's right on the cusp of that. My mom did turn 82 this spring, and my mom had the virus. But I'm looking, investigating more. My dad was a different blood type, a rare blood type compared to my mom, so that didn't benefit him. When I look at all that, and was that?
What was he? Was he A? A positive?
Yes. Yes. And it was like, whoa, that's not good, considering the research and battling the virus. And I want to say my mom got the best blood to battle the virus.
O positive?
You know, yes. Yeah, exactly. And so but she's dealing with Alzheimer's right now. And but maybe it's a blessing in disguise. You know, that's a tragic disease. My mom, like I said, 82 years of age. And, you know, we talk about, you know, where's my dad and stuff. And 5 minutes later, she can not even recall the conversation. But you know what's the craziest thing, Christian? The one thing, if I get ever Alzheimer's down the road, hopefully I'm happy-go-lucky and I laugh. And I'm not belligerent. I'm not mean. My mom laughs at everything. And so I guess that's a blessing in disguise. And so hopefully, you know, that we can find a cure for this tragic disease with Alzheimer's. Because once you lose your mind and stuff, it's so tough with your loved ones when you're around. And I'm going to tell you a story, because I think she would laugh at this too.
All right, can you tell it on the other side of this break?
No, because it's going to take 20 seconds, I promise you.
Okay, all right.
No, let me tell you. I'm talking to my mom, and I go see her, you know, at assisted living. And I go, Mom, hey, you know who I am? It's your son, your favorite son. You know, I'm saying all this. And she goes, you know who I am? I go, you know who I am? She goes, what do you mean? You don't know who you are? How am I supposed to know who you are if you don't know who you are? So she starts cracking up laughing and telling me, how can you not know who you are? I go, no, I want you to tell me who I am. And so we just start laughing and laughing. And so I guess that's a blessing in disguise in dealing with that, with Alzheimer's. So.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrett. Got a couple phone calls waiting. We'll get to you next here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.